back on Downtown Tuesday afternoon, and time for us to talk some Celtics basketball. And to do that, we turn to John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey there. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. How's your Tuesday going so far?
It's going great and only getting better.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, beautiful weather up here. Are you getting the same thing, this summer-like weather down your way?
Yeah, it's been a little on the warm side. And, you know, it's tough. Once you transition into the sweatpants and the hoodies, it's tough to put them away. Like, we're in September, and I want to wear the hoodie outside. Doesn't matter that it's 80 degrees. I'm just like, hey, this is fall. We're going to get fall weather here. But I'm willing to extend summer for a few more days.
Yeah, and I'm hoping we didn't skip over my favorite part of fall, which doesn't last too long. And those are those days when you need the hoodie, but you can maybe still wear shorts.
It's the best. That's the New England uniform.
Oh, yeah. You
know, the hoodie with shorts, that to me is the absolute favorite. There's about like 2 months out of the year that you can do that and get away with it. So I am looking forward to more of that.
Well, let's talk about some recent news when it comes to the Celtics, and particularly the sale and this notion that perhaps Wick Grousbeck and Dad, safe to say, differed over the amount of money the Celtics were spending on payroll.
Yeah, it's an interesting report out of the New York Post suggesting that Boston's payroll is a little too expensive for Irv Grousbeck, and that it was Wick's authorization of some pretty intense spending that made him say, okay, that's it. We're selling the team, we're cashing it in, and that's about it. I don't know how much that has played into it. It's certainly possible that there's a little bit of family drama involved there, but Irv is the majority owner. He has the say. Even though Wick is the quote-unquote governor of the team, it's, you know, if the majority owner comes in and tells Brad Stevens, you are not to spend any more money, then things like the holiday extension, the Derek White extension, Sam Hauser, like these, a lot of money was given out this summer, and it didn't have to be. All of that came after the sale was announced. So it's interesting, and I think there may be something to the family drama, but if the payroll was the main issue, then Irv could have come in and stopped the payroll from ballooning if he really wanted to. So I am a little bit skeptical of the report, but I am not entirely dismissive of it.
And do you think if it is true, it changes anything in the likely progression of the sale?
Well, I don't know. It kind of depends on who the suitors are. As far as the sale goes, I still think it's probably going to be a lower key, more internal thing, but I could be wrong when it comes to that. I don't see any big name billionaires coming in and spending at least to buy like a portion of the team, right? If we're talking about the Jeff Bezos types, they're not going to come in to buy 30% of the team so they can become the majority owner, right? They think they're going to want in. They're going to want it to be their team. So I don't know if this has any impact on the sale necessarily. I think the bigger impact on the sale is ultimately, yes, how profitable the team is. And you know, ultimately that is going to change because of the CBA. But also, the there's no building. There are other factors there at play that might kind of determine who is actually going to bid and who's not going to bid.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Of course, I always turn to you first for my Celtics news, but I did get suckered into jumping on some clickbait story last night online. I don't even remember the source, not a very reliable one, and the headline was, Steve Kerr tells the true story of how Jason Tatum handled his Olympic snub. And then, you know, I open it up and it's basically Steve Kerr saying, yeah, Jason was a classy guy through the whole thing. He handled it perfect.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing. Celtics make roster move with talented shooter. oh, yeah, they just signed this G League guy to an Exhibit 10 contract. You know, like that type of stuff. You're like, all right, I'm going to click because it's vague enough. Yeah, Steve Kerr talked to NBA.com, and they're going through a bunch of interviews with coaches. And he said, Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton, for that matter, handled their Olympic issues well. And they, you know, they were very supportive about the about how things went. Doesn't mean that Jason is happy with how things went. Doesn't mean that he doesn't feel that it should have gone differently. But I would never expect Jason to be a disruptive type. I would always expect him to be, you know, team first, and privately he might express, you know, some distaste for how things went. But yeah, of course he handled things well. He's a professional. He's not going to make waves. He's not a wave maker. But those clickbait headlines, they do know how to grab you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the story you shared about Al Horford going home and what that all meant to him and to the people that he grew up with.
Yeah. You know, bringing the trophy home to the Dominican Republic and getting the nation's highest honor, that what a special moment that is for him. You know, it's a small country, you know, and very proud. They don't have a ton down there, so they're proud of the guys who make it and make it big. And you can tell it really meant something. And Al is very proud of his roots and his heritage, and is very active in giving back to that community. So to see him there and to get the love and to get the recognition from his country, that really means a lot. The representation matters, because there are a lot of young kids who see Al and, you know, who saw David Ortiz and understood, like, hey, I can be like that. I can strive to be that kind of, you know, star, that kind of athlete. And even if they're not, that it at least instills that work ethic, that drive to kind of reach your dreams and understand, like, this is the amount of hard work it takes to try to reach a dream. So it's impactful. It's really nice for Al, but I think it's even more impactful for the people there and the young kids there watching him bring a championship back home.
Well, expectations are high. Everybody's excited for the coming season, but as is always the case, you have to expect that somewhere along the way there may be some regression from last season, and you wrote about that, and some of the candidates for regression this year. Is Derek White the obvious one?
Well, Derek White is one of, I think, three. I think Horford, we just talked about the championship, but I think Horford, because of his age, there's going to be a regression potential. I think Jrue Holiday, there's a potential because his shooting numbers were so good. And Derek White, because his season was just off the charts. And he's had his two best seasons in the NBA these past 2 years. And I don't think it's unfair to question, is that the new normal for him? Or was that just 2 years of incredible play that will be tempered by, hey, they just won a championship, maybe a little bit of a relaxation, maybe a regression from Horford or Holiday, or, you know, a little less from Tatum or Brown, that impacts how much Derek White can do. Because Derek has been great at essentially, you know, navigating the wake of the big sharks in Tatum and Brown. If there isn't as much wake, is he going to be able to do as much as he's done? And, you know, I'm not going to say 30 is old in the NBA, but once you put a 3 in front of your age, you start to, like, look at how much time there is left versus how much time you've played in the league, which, you know, is not fun for a guy with a 5 in front of his age, but it's, you know, that's the fact of the matter. So it's fair to ask if there is going to be any regression for Derek White. I don't expect it, but I think he does so well because of a few other factors, that if one of those other factors kind of goes away, it could impact him as well.
Let me tell you, having that 6 in front of your age is no party either.
Yeah, this happens, man, those numbers. Although, you know, hopefully, hopefully we get to turn the odometer and start going with a one, at some point.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely. My jump shot might come back then.
That's right. As long as we can still do radio together.
That's all that counts right there. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Got it. I'll talk to you then.